Hello and welcome back to this fourth episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is my co-host, Ruby. How are you doing, Ruby?
Hi, I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. We've had a pretty exciting exciting week full of Guild Wars news this week.
Oh my gosh, this was great.
This is our second profession reveal, plus quite a few little bonuses, and we had quite a bit to talk about at Massively, too, where we got an interview and... we got a little bit advanced notice of the information, which is really nice.
Right, I was so happy.
Yeah, that was really cool. So we'll talk all about all of that, of course. One thing I want to mention, though, before we do that, is we are finally on iTunes.
Yay!
It took quite a while, and I'm not really sure why, but I actually checked it. I used to check it all the time, and then I kind of stopped, and then somebody emailed me, and they were like, "Hey, congrats, you're on iTunes now," and I said, "Oh." Okay. So I checked it out, and sure enough, there we are, right next to the old Guildcast.
Oh, how funny. Yeah. You know what it is, don't you, is that iTunes could not handle how awesome Guildcast was, and they were trying to contain it.
That's probably...
Just go with it. Just go with it.
Not true?
Shh. Just go with it. It's fine. Shut up, man.
So I guess basically you can go to the website at guildcast.wordpress.com. And check out, we have the show notes there all the time. We also have an RSS feed. If you have, like, your own RSS feed reader, which many people have, other than iTunes. And then there's guildcast.libsyn.com, which is kind of our direct feed for, that's where I actually store the files and everything. And they're the host. And what I do is I usually just copy the show notes over to that. So they're the exact same thing. You're not missing anything.
Cool.
And then, of course, iTunes. So you can go to iTunes and check us out. And we actually already have some reviews, which is hilarious. Like, when I found out about it, I looked, and there were two reviews already.
Seriously?
Yeah, and I was like, how does that even happen? But they're both positive, which is awesome.
That's a relief. I'm glad. Yeah. I'm, like, heading over to iTunes now to look.
Yeah, I think they're both from old listeners.
Oh, that's my favorite kind. Hi, guys.
Yeah the emails I've been getting from old listeners has been incredible. I mean, I keep getting, the notifications for Twitter every time we get a new follower too. And, I'll see like Chiona on there, or Loudon, or, Junkmaster, and like all these people who, we used to kind of hang out with back in the old days, it's so cool. And what I was thinking is kind of crazy too. We got an email about this that we'll read, toward the end of the show, but we had a listener who contacted us about how, he's like 13 years old, I think, but he used to listen to the old Guildcast.
Yeah, that was cool. So he had to have been like 9 or 10 years old.
Yeah, and I keep thinking about all the people. Like, it's literally possible for someone who is in middle school at the time the first Guildcast came out to now be in college. How old does that make you feel?
Well, pretty old. Thanks for pointing that out. I'm ancient. But yeah, I could think of two that – right off the top of my head that – we still talk to just about every day. And they're in college now. Oh, my gosh.
Our little Guildcast listeners are growing up.
They're getting so big.
I know.
They're both, like, going to kill me the next time they talk to me. Like, thanks a lot. But, yeah, it's very, very cool that they've been around for that long.
Okay, so for this week we have, like I mentioned, we have the second profession reveal, which is the warrior. And this is one that I don't think it was a big secret that the warrior was going to be coming out. We talked about that with the Elementalist show where we said, they kind of mentioned the warrior in passing along with the Elementalist. And they said, well, if the Elementalist does this, then the warrior would do this. So, I mean, also it's kind of a staple of games so that, you knew that there was going to be a warrior. Now, from here on out, that's where the crazy... speculation comes. I mean, of course, I want to see a Necro and a Mesmer. That's all I want to see. will they have the newer classes, like the Paragon or the Ritualist or the Assassin or the Dervish? Will they have these or will they kind of combine them? And we'll talk a little bit more about this later because I have a theory on that, actually. But it's interesting. It's interesting to think about what they'll have next. We still have a long ways to go because... When did they reveal the Elementalist? Was it about 6 weeks ago?
It was almost 6 weeks ago. Yeah. And actually, something that was very cool, you mentioned the speculation on the warrior. One of the things that people talked about so much was that yeah, okay, they mentioned a warrior, but, you know, elementalists capitalized because mm-hmm. that's how they do professions. Warrior's not capitalized. I think maybe they're just talking about generic, you know, a warrior, like a fighter type person.
Yeah.
But then they came out with that style guide and said, we're not going to capitalize professions anymore. We're going to just keep it all lowercase. And everybody went, ooh, so this just proves our point.
So now we have to look at every lowercase word and think, hey, that might be a profession, right?
Oh, my gosh. So like coconut.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to have a coconut class. Well, okay. So let's talk about the warrior then, because I think it's really interesting. A lot of the things that they mention in this blog mm-hmm. post, it's kind of like dev diary about the warrior. And a lot of it is similar to Guild Wars 1. You know, you have the mm-hmm. the same types of weapons, not all of them, but a lot of the same types of weapons. You have the same stances and shouts, and they even mention a lot of the same skills that we're used to with Guild Wars 1. But there are some very, very significant changes and additions as well.
Oh, this is so cool.
Now, we talked before about how items, the weapons that you use actually dictate a lot of the skill bar that you have. How many is it? Five? Is it five slots or three?
You have five that are dictated by your weapons.
Okay. So you have five of those. And then in addition to that, there are the chains. There are actual skill chains where there are a set of three skills that they actually share a single skill slot. So it's like you're getting three in one with those. And one of the examples they give here is the sword chain skills, Sever Artery, Gash, and Final Thrust, which are all in the same key. So it'll pretty much do them all at you know.
One after the other.
Yeah, within a chain. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool because it adds so much more to that. And I don't know, do you think that they're going to make this kind of the chains to replace the elite skills where you can only have like one chain?
Oh, I hope not. People will freak out. But the chains, I don't know. I wonder if a skill chain will actually be an elite skill.
Yeah.
That's something that I hadn't speculated on. I was just thinking it's so much more efficient that you have that in just one. You've got that taking up one skill slot and boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's cool. And a lot of these things that they mention in this blog really make me want to play a warrior. Now, of course, my very first character that I had, well, that I saved, my very, very first character in Guild Wars was an elementalist, but I deleted her. And then, I know, it's horrible, but I remade another one, so it's okay. But then I remade, the one that I actually saved was a warrior, and that's Walmart Special, of course, the best fantasy character name ever.
It really is, just for the sheer absurdity of it.
And so, you know, I like playing a warrior, but it's not my preferred class, of course. But when I read these, it makes me think, wow, you know, you have things like stances, of course, which you had in Guild Wars 1, but there are banners. And the banners actually remind me a lot of Lord of the Rings Online with the captains, where they have banners that they can actually bring along with a little, like, sidekick guy carries a banner with you, or you can have a banner that you can plant in the ground and it gives certain buffs in that area and it doesn't move. So that reminds me of the same type of thing, and I'm all about buffing. I love buffs. I love debuffs too, which is why I like playing the Mesmer and the Necro so much. But I think that's cool that it's kind of that in relation to the shouts almost makes it like, I'm speculating here, but it makes it replace the Paragon.
Ooh, don't say that. Somebody just got mad, and we haven't even finished recording yet.
So what do you think about that?
I am absolutely crazy about this, and anybody that's played with me for more than 5 minutes knows I am a truly, truly wretched melee player. I'm very bad at it, and I'm looking at this going, you know.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, like it gives you all these options. I mean.
Well, oh, sorry, go ahead.
I mean, like, you know, they talk about the ability to use a longbow, and that's something that a lot of people picked up on the video.
That was so cool.
I know, yeah, the video, that was actually one of the biggest things that people were talking about, besides the fact that the char was a female in the video. But she was shooting a longbow and doing giant area of effect damage with fire on the enemies. And it makes you think, wait a minute, are they going to combine the ranger and the warrior now? Like, are they no longer going to have a ranger?
Man, I tried. I asked.
I know. Yeah, in your interview right after this information was released, the next day, You asked Eric Flannum about that, and he said, nice try.
Yeah, he was like, I'm not telling you. But yeah, as far as the banners that we were talking about, it seems like they've taken, you know, the Ebon Vanguard skills right now. There are quite a few like that, but they're not movable. And it's so typical of ArenaNet to take something that we already love and make it bigger and better. Mm-hmm. So I think we're gonna see this. We're a little bit familiar with it just through the Ebon Vanguard skill line. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they're movable, that is so much more efficient, because when you're in battle, you don't just kind of stand there with your feet planted on the ground and poke at a guy with your sword or whatever. Yeah. I mean, there's so much moving around, and whoever has cast this buff is usually, you know, get back in the ward. And that can follow the general battle is so cool to me. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, the wards actually, that, I mean, they have that in a few other games too, but I think mm-hmm. it's always interesting to play with the wards. And, you know, with wells too, with Necros, they have the wells. And it's kind of, you know, keeping the area buffed or debuffed or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think it sounds like banners are going to kind of replace that. But, well, maybe not replace, I hate to say that, but add to it.
How's yeah, that? And that'll work. That's kind of pure speculation. And now I'm thinking about if a necro well would be moved, but I guess you'd have to, like, actually drag the corpse somewhere.
Hey, the minions could do that. That'd be awesome.
Well, they might as well do something. All they do now is aggro everything.
No, they like to stand in front of the camera on cutscenes.
Oh, that's right. I love me some minions. I always take Elias with me, so I should be nicer to the minions because they do provide a nice meat shield. Yes. Ooh, speaking of shields, that's the other thing that I really like, that you can block with shields.
Yeah.
And that was the best accidental segue ever.
Ever. I'm just going to cut that out now.
Oh, you can't. That's horrible. No, that is something else that they said, though. You've got that skill, you can hold that down, and you can block with your shield. Mm-hmm. And I think we saw a little bit of that in the video with the female warrior taking on the drakes, and the flames were bouncing off her shield, which was undoubtedly so cool. Mm-hmm. I loved that.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of comments on our YouTube video that we have up, and a lot of them are either comment on that or the longbow thing, of course. But yeah, they're all like, "Wow, you can actually block with the shield!" Like, and the animations and the art and everything reflects that. That's amazing.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah,
I love it. Now the other thing that they've added that I think is really going to help in combat. Did you see when the female char, she was firing that flaming arrow? As she was aiming, you could see the area was indicated by a little circle down there. Mm-hmm. Were you? I don't know if you noticed that
yeah.
or not.
Yeah.
And that's going to help your aim a little bit.
Yeah. Well, it's well, to let you know, I guess, to let your character mm-hmm. know that where the actual AOE is going to affect. You know,
so
the actual,
you can blow up as many of them as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's I think that's very helpful in that. But so let's see. What else? The other kind of special skill types they have. They have stances, like we mentioned. Mm-hmm. And this is something that, the warrior uses adrenaline. And this is something that he has to build back up. So the stances actually will help him build, kind of recharge that adrenaline. Or it's, like I said, it drains his energy, but it gives him adrenaline regeneration back. So that's right there. That confirms that we're going to have energy and adrenaline, or adrenaline at least on the warrior.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I love about how they've done this with adrenaline now? You gain a strike of adrenaline with every hit that you deal, mm-hmm. but you have different levels of adrenaline that you can release, and you can say, all right, I'm going to wait, get a few more strikes, and make this skill more powerful.
Like pips? Is that what you're thinking? That's what they call it in Guild Wars 1, the little arrows.
So many pips of energy.
Yeah.
But no, the adrenaline will build up, and you can say, I don't know, I'm completely pulling numbers out of my ears, but you can say, okay, I've got 5 strikes of adrenaline, I'm going to go ahead and use this skill, or I'm going to wait until I have like 8 strikes of adrenaline, and then I'll use the skill and make it more powerful. Mm. And there are different levels of that. And right now we don't have that. The skill is either on or it's off.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You've got different levels of, I guess, power as you release that skill.
Yeah.
So you can choose to wait or not and get that payoff, which I love. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's definitely really cool. That's all these different things combined, you know, these different ways to play and weapons mm-hmm. and, I mean, we're going to talk about traits in a little bit, and all of these add to the combat. It's going to be such a, like, a metagame in itself, just just the combat, I think.
And, just putting skills together.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. And that's something that, you know, Guild Wars has always been known for that, you know, with the builds and everything. How things are continuously balanced to make sure that, because people always find a way to, you know, to combine certain skills and make it the most efficient thing ever. And I think I'm really fascinated by that. And I understand they have to balance a lot of that and, you know, nerf certain things, but I'm always fascinated by that. It's such a testament to MMO players.
Oh my gosh. They are. Yeah. They're very, very good at what they do. And well, PVX Wiki tells you that right there.
Yeah.
But you know, the more of this that we hear, the more I laugh, because remember when we first heard about the skill bars and so many people were upset, they said, this is too restrictive.
Yeah.
We like making builds. We like working with this and this won't let us do that. And the more we hear, the more I'm like, this is just beyond anything that we've done.
Yeah, and the more I think about the way that the skill bars are assembled, you know, where it depends on, you know, your race and your class and your weapon and your healing skill and things like this, it's almost like assembling. Okay, here I go again with a car analogy. It's assembling a car. You know what I mean? Like you need a frame, you need certain tires, you need, you know, the paint job, and you need all these different things that you have to put together to make the final product. And I really like that, because then you can't just throw in, you can, of course you can still have a bad build, but you can't have a horribly, horribly all res SIGs build, you know, like, and we talked about that before, but
yeah.
I think it's, I just, every time I think about that, I get more and more excited about playing with that. And just, like I said, it's a metagame, you know, just figuring all that out and getting that perfect, well, maybe not the perfect build. I'm not really a min maxer, you know, I don't take the numbers and make everything precise, right. But just playing around with it and seeing what's more fun and what gets the biggest fireworks.
Okay, so you're going to be able to build cars in Guild Wars 2. You heard it here first.
And if car was lowercase, then it would be a class.
Yes, exactly. That'd be an awesome class. But no, I do know what you mean. It's going to be, I don't think it's going to be overly complicated, and the way it's set up, we kind of saves us from ourselves from being able to take out something completely insane.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's going to be so much you can do with this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess getting back to the new information, we keep going back to the old stuff because it's just crazy. But
it's so cool.
So some of the weapons, well, actually all of the weapons have been listed for the warrior and what he'll be using. And it's not just a matter of you know, skin preference. Like if you're like, well, I like the sword skin better than the axe skin or whatever. With Guild Wars 1, the hammer was kind of a joke for a long time, and it kind of, it's not really a joke now, but it, you know,
the hammers are better now.
Yeah, they're a lot better, but it you know, for a long time there, it was like, oh, you have a hammer, you noob. But it's more like, of course, you know, the item you have depends on the skills you have, but also they have their own type of skills. Like for example, a sword is quick and mobile, like it says in the blog. And it says he bleeds his enemies, the sword warrior bleeds his enemies as he bounces between them with a savage leap, which sounds like fun. And it sounds like more of kind of like the assassin, you know, where you're kind of jumping around and doing more acrobatic type things. And you can also dual wield swords, they talk about too. An axe warrior, it says it quickly builds up his adrenaline and can deliver powerful spike attacks. So it sounds like the axe, which kind of the way it is now in Guild Wars 1, the axe is the highest damage weapon for a warrior. So it sounds like that's what you're going to be able to do, the more powerful spike attacks. The hammer, it says a hammer warrior pounds his foes and the ground with area attacks that stagger groups of enemies. So the hammer sounds more like an AoE type thing, but not on a single target, you know, like pounding the ground can do things like stuns or whatever to the you know, kind of a broader area of enemies.
Right.
And then, of course, the mace is the one that's more of a stunning attack on single targets. You know, it says that it hits them where it hurts, leaving them susceptible to further blows. So it's almost like the mace will set them up for
knocking them down.
Yeah, for knocking them down, getting ready for somebody else to kind of take over and you know, burn their face off or whatever.
Well, and again, we're seeing that encouragement of playing with other people and working together.
Yeah, I don't like that. That's horrible.
Shut up.
The Greatsword, it says it uses his momentum to deliver sweeping area effect damage attacks while gliding around the battlefield. There you go. Gliding around. I didn't.
Oh.
It's the Greatsword ballet, I guess.
Swan Lake is your elite. That would be awesome.
But this sounds like kind of a tougher version. Well, I hate to say tougher, but kind of the two-handed version of the regular swords, you know, where you can kind of leap around using Savage Leap and things like that. It sounds like the Greatsword is more of a sweeper. Again, going back to Lotro, this is like the champion. You know, people are going to hate me for talking about Lotro on a Guildlords podcast, but
well,
I can't
it's better help. Than, well, it's a change from being hated from talking about Fallen Earth.
That's true. It's like Fallen Earth.
Yeah.
When you sweep with a rifle, it's not the same.
No, try it with Lotro. Go ahead.
Well, there you go, the champion. But the longbow, here's the two that are completely new, completely different. The longbow and the rifle. Mm-hmm. Now, the longbow, they're saying, is more for area of effect damage, like we saw in the video. And the rifle is more of a single target ranged weapon, so more of like a sniper type thing that a warrior can actually use to pull monsters or, like they say, finish off a fleeing foe. So, you know, in the old days, back in Guild Wars 1, back when I was a kid, in my day, we used longbows for that. You know, we'd kind of keep a bow on the warriors, just to, even though they weren't rangers, just to kind of draw.
Just to pull.
Yeah, just to pull, and then it didn't really do any damage, anything like that. So that's kind of what the rifle is now. The only thing I worry about with this is I wonder if it's going to be a legitimate weapon in itself, where you can just run around with a rifle and, you know, kind of be like a backline damage dealer.
Oh, I hope so. I want to shoot things in the knees.
Wow.
That'd make me play a warrior. Well, it's legitimate. It's a crippling thing.
Yeah. No, actually, yeah, that would be pretty cool. I just hope it's its own weapon there. You don't have to use the rifle and then switch back to something else every time you want to fight something. You
know? Right. It's not just like a BB gun to get something's attention.
Yeah, exactly. I would almost guarantee it's not a BB gun.
Good, because that would suck for shooting things in the knees.
It would just really make them angry, I think.
Yeah, well, and then they'd come for you and you could, what'd you say, burn their face off?
Yeah. No, you'd be the elementalist, so you would have to burn their face off. I would raise their dead body when they're done.
Oh, I'm cool with that. Okay, we're set here.
Okay, so, and also I'm going to add the video onto the show notes.
Awesome.
So people can check that out. But now, there are actually more, there's more than one video, but I'm talking about the video that we saw for the warrior itself. But they actually, we'll put a link to this, the profession page on the main site, because they have different videos for the different skills. They have one for Artery Gash Final Thrust. They have one for Arching Shot, one for Shield Stance, one for Stomp, and one for Eviscerate. So you can kind of see those parts of the bigger video, you know.
Individually.
Individually, so you can see kind of more specifically what they are. And I think that's it's pretty interesting.
I have to say, I loved the animation for Stomp, and it's not just because, you know, ooh, pretty animations, but it was such a good look at how far the animations have come in 5 years and what they're doing with it.
Yeah.
What
I think is cool, too, is you can still see a little bit, like in the faces, you can still see that, you know, you can tell that the same artists are working on it, you know, and you can look in the faces and you can see a much improved version of what is probably, I mean, for years there, the Guild Wars faces were some of the most gorgeous character faces in any game, I think.
They still are.
Especially MMOs. Well, have you seen Ion? Ion has some gorgeous...
I don't care. Shut up. That's the whole podcast is me telling you to shut up.
Telling me to stop talking about other games, right?
No, it really... And I've actually looked at a little bit of Ion. I haven't played, but I just... I'm just so impressed with the way that Guild Wars has done the faces. Well, and I'm hoping that we get a little bit more. I'm hoping we get a little more variety this time around. But
yeah, well, my point is not that, you know, not to detract from the Guild Wars faces. It's just that, you know, after 5 years, it's like there have been improvements. But stuff that we see in Guild Wars 2 looks amazing, like unmatched completely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So
I can't wait to play it.
Yeah. So, okay, let's move on to talk about traits a little bit.
Okay.
you want to kind of intro this and let people know what the traits are basically about?
Yeah, because this was actually something that was a little bit confusing, and you had to do some reading to try to really figure this out. The way that the game designer Ben Miller described this was, at a basic level, traits make you better at what you choose to do. And what these are like, it's like a third dimension to add to your skills and attributes. It doesn't really replace anything. Some of the way attributes work, some of the attributes of the attributes are moved over to traits. So you've got like a three-cornered setup here where you pull from all three of these to make your overall build a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And what it does is essentially make you better at certain skills. Eric Flanham described this like a warrior can have axe traits equipped in axe mastery, but if they're not wielding an axe, those traits are inactive, and something that you have that goes with your current weapon is active. Let's see. I'm trying to think of the best way to describe this without going on for ages, because it's kind of complicated.
Well, yeah, it is complicated. I think the basics are, like they say in this thing, you know, traits make you better at what you choose to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying really, really hard here. You have to compliment me on this. I'm trying really hard not to mention another game that does this exact same thing. But
you know what? You can have one more.
Okay. So Lotro. No, it's very similar to the way Lotro does their trait system, where you earn these traits that can boost the thing that you want to be best at. You know what I mean? If you want to be a sword warrior and you say, this is all I want to do, and I know that I want to wield two swords and run around chopping kneecaps off, then you can do that. And if there's a kneecap chopping trait, then, hey, bonus, you know? So it's like your play style, whatever the way you want to play, these traits will enhance that, and they'll add to it, and they'll make them more powerful. But these traits have so much more to do, from what I can tell, they have so much more to do than just combat. Did you get that out of that too?
Oh, absolutely, because there are traits that will, going back to the warrior for a second, there are traits that will shorten your cooldown on skills. Mm-hmm. And if I can get all crazy and make a Guild Wars comparison.
We don't do that on this show.
Sorry. But no, I was actually just sitting here thinking, okay, so I'm a fire elementalist, which is, I know, shocking. Mm. But, you know, I've got 16 in fire magic, so I've got, like, fireball here, which just and I've got 16 attribute points in fire magic, so my fireball is very powerful, but you can also have a trait that goes specifically with fireball and buffs it up even more, maybe shortens the cooldown.
Yeah.
Or makes it hit harder, or makes it do damage to more foes.
Yeah.
So, see, you can do that without talking about other games.
You can. I can't.
I can.
So I think what's interesting, too, is in this trait dev blog, which is a separate one from the warrior one, he goes down the line and he actually kind of sets up the steps to how you would use the traits. And he talks about, you know, you pick your weapon, and then you, of course, you pick your healing skill. You pick your utility skills and elite skills, which I think are interesting that he mentioned that they name those mm-hmm. exactly. And then you assign your traits. You know, so you kind of get yourself set up, and then the traits will be something that you do later. And actually, in the interview that we did with them, you asked them about if the traits are going to be available right at the beginning, and they said no, they're actually going to be a little bit later, like level 15. He like specifically said level 15. So right. we know there's going to be a level 15 in the game.
At least 15 levels.
So he said this is something you'll get a little bit later because they don't want to overwhelm people when they first start. But you know, once you get your character progress a little bit and then you start refining your skills, then that's when the traits will come in handy.
And you know, that's kind of why I asked that, because that was my concern. Think about when you first started Guild Wars, it was overwhelming and it was really confusing. Mm-hmm. And as complicated, I hate to say complicated because it's got a bad connotation, as diverse as character creation is in Guild Wars, and as diverse of a skill bars we're going to be able to have, adding traits to that right off the bat, I can see it actually turning people away mm-hmm. and people just saying, you know what, forget it. This is way too complicated.
Well, what would happen is, at least what I would do is I would just slot whatever, you know, whatever I saw, and I would be like, Okay. But a good thing, actually, that he mentions is that you can switch these at any time. Like, you can do a respec at any time, which is very, very helpful, I think, because, you know, it's kind of detrimental to set yourself up, set your character up, and then just, you know, you want to get to this part or whatever, you want to get to the next part, and you kind of fly through certain parts of it, and to be punished for that later, I don't think is...
Would suck.
Yeah, I think it would suck.
Yeah. And, yeah, that's actually a very, very good point. What I wonder about respecing anywhere, anytime like that, how are we going to be able to have, like, saved skill bars like we have now with that full spectrum of respecing, where we can almost just take a hotkey and say, all right, I want this one?
Well, actually, from what he hints at and what he talks about, it sounds like we will be able to do that, because they talk about having weapon sets that are set to hotkeys. Mm-hmm. And if you can do that, you know, it'll change your skill bar, of course. So, mm-hmm. So if you can have, like, these hotkeys set up to be able to switch weapons, that will be like your own builds and like kind of how they have now. And that's such a big feature of Guild Wars now that it would be crazy for them to remove that. One thing I did notice about that, a little detail, is he said that you can get the weapon master trait that actually lowers the cooldown on switching weapons. So,
I saw that.
Yeah, so that lets us know that there will be a cooldown. You won't be able to just flip through weapon sets, you know, willy-nilly. You'll actually have a cooldown. But if you get this one certain trait, it'll lower that cooldown if you're one of those people who likes to switch around a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to be really interested to see more of that, because what I'm thinking, and I love being able to switch out the weapon sets like that and switch all of your build with that, but what if you're wielding a staff and want to set up for single target and then switch to use the same weapon for area of effect and multiple targets? I'm kind of hoping it'll get that specific.
Yeah, I'm sure it would. I'm sure that you could, I would imagine that it would all be connected with the skill bar. And when you change, like, you won't just change your skills and then change your weapon separately. I imagine it would be one thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm interested to see more details on that.
Yeah. Of course, again, we're speculating here. You know?
Yes, that's just me saying, okay, but what if I like this weapon and I want to do different things with it?
Yeah, exactly.
And fast. So.
So we also had a few interviews that were kind of following up on this. Like we mentioned at Massively, we had our own interview, and there was also one over at Online Welten. It's a German site. And they were able to get Eric Flanum and talk a little bit more. What were some of the highlights of, you know, either your interview or the German one?
Well, the one on the German one, absolutely. And I was really impressed with this interview. They had some very, very good questions, just asking specifically about traits and how they worked. They had Eric Flanum explain that a little bit further as far as whether they replace attributes or not. And they asked if you can upgrade or enhance your traits, and he pointed out you cannot. You have the trait or you don't, and that's really it. The Massively interview was just altogether awesome, I think.
Yeah, who did that? They are amazing.
I don't know. You should hire that person, though. No, it was, honestly, I just kind of went in it. There were just some small clarifications that I noticed seemed like little details, but people asked them quite a bit. As far as respecing outside of combat and weapon switching, we talked about that a little bit. The thing that you already mentioned, actually, see, you stepped on my toes here. As far as traits not being available right at the beginning, giving you a chance to kind of get your feet wet and get used to gameplay before you got into all of that complicated stuff.
Yeah, those are certainly very, very important points, I think, that were not really said in the blog, you know, the original blog that was written, which is, that's the main reason we love getting these follow-up interviews, because, you know, we know what's going on, you know, we know what's going on with the game, we know that when we hear new information, we're like, oh, and it, you know, it sets off a light bulb where we say, is this going to be like this? Is it going to operate like this game? Or is it going to be a change from the way the original Guild Wars is now? And so a lot of times you'll find these follow-up interviews have more information, at least specific information, than a lot of the kind of general dev diaries that come out with
new information. Well, you're digging into it a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I tell you, I've got to point this one out because my very last question, you know, we had Guild Wars night with our Massively readers last night, and we've got a 40-man event, so like 20 of us were hanging out on this last night, and so many people were saying, thank you, thank you, thank you for asking this question. In both videos, you hear them, they're talking, they're quipping and saying one-liners while they're, you know, hold that pose. And I asked, you know, can you turn this off, or is it random, or is this going to go on forever? And he said, you can't, there are limits put on it to make certain it doesn't happen too often. And players always have the option to disable it if they want. You can turn off the one-liners. That was seriously like the biggest thing in the interview. Everybody was so happy.
And that's kind of a shame. I mean, I understand it. It's kind of a shame, though. They probably put a lot of resources into that, you know, to kind of add a little bit to the game. And I think a lot of people probably will turn it off. Do you agree?
You know, my personal opinion is that once we find out how this works, not everybody's going to want to turn it off. We're not going to want to turn it off as much as we think we will. Mm-hmm. Because so many people have been saying, you know, I don't want to hear, oh, what did the Ellie say? I'm just shocking. I don't, you know, what if you have 10 Ellies standing around in a group? Do you hear this 10 times every 5 seconds? But something that I had said a couple times before and at the risk of harping on it, the people that make this game are gamers too. Mm-hmm. They don't want to hear it that much any more than we do. And I think it's probably going to be, I think that we probably heard a lot of it in the videos to get an idea of what they were saying.
Yeah. But yeah, they want to show it off.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's going to be more well done than what we think it is. So,
yeah,
all that work that they put into it, I think once you hear it, I don't think as many people are going to be disabling it as they think they are.
Fair enough. We'll see.
So that's me being completely optimistic.
Yeah. No,
I really do trust them to do it well.
Yeah. That was actually another one that was commented a lot on our YouTube video talking about, you know, oh, I hope we can turn that off or, you know, I don't know. It seems like one of those things where it would be cool. It'd be a cool little gimmick, I guess, at first. But yeah, if everyone can hear each other and then, you know, you have a few Ellies together and they're all saying the same thing right after each other, that would be, yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to leave. I'm sorry. No, I could not stay for that. But I honestly just don't think, I think more of ArenaNet than that. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to make this fantastic game and then put in something completely incessant and annoying. I don't see it happening.
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, can I talk about another game one more time? Just
all right, you get one more.
Okay. In Ion, they have this where you, you know, every time you cast a spell, the guy says something, and I don't know what he's saying most of the time, but or at least, you know, my character. But each character has their own things they say for each spell. And it's all spell related, and it's all, that's it. Like, there's no, like in Guild Wars 2, I think it's going to be related on other things. There's going to be, like, the response to the skill, I think they're going to say, little, like, one-liner follow-ups and stuff like that.
Well, and he said, like, when you lift something.
Yeah, yeah. So it's going to be kind of tied into all of that, too. But in Ion, it is annoying, but I still haven't turned it off. I've just kind of gotten used to it, and I don't really hate it that much. So I don't know. Who knows? Maybe it might be something. And I also think, like, okay, in Guild Wars 1, there are the text things that that the heroes and the henchmen say.
Oh, those are so great.
Yeah. It's like little – and when you get two of them together, sometimes they have different conversations, uh-huh. Different things that happen, and they respond differently to different types of input.
Yeah.
So maybe it'll be something like that, which is, in itself is entertaining.
Oh, yeah. And, well, and I'm thinking of Xandra in one of her battle shouts is, guess what's in this urn? Go on, guess. I love that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I really do, too. Okay, so you convinced me.
I just don't think it's going to be that bad.
Yeah.
And you know what? Something else that I'm kind of excited about, he said you have one of the triggers is like when you level up. Mm. And you know what it made me think of? Would you mind if I talked about another game for a second?
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Because we've already done that too much. Like, when you level up in Fallen Earth, that your clone collar, like, just shocks the crap out of you.
Yeah.
And I get such a kick out of that, so I hope there's, you know, I hope we get something good for leveling up besides, hey, I leveled up. I hope you should yell ding.
Yes. Well, again, in Ion, This show is horrible. In Ion, when you level up, you actually kind of raise off the ground and like these kind of ghostly wings pop out. And it's actually really, really cool. But, yeah, I think that...
Now I want to try it.
Doing something like that when you level would be pretty cool. A lot of games do that, actually. Something similar.
Yeah, you get something. Or you just yell ding in guild chat.
Yeah, and grats.
And grats.
So, yeah, that was... that was some pretty incredible information there this week. You know, I can't wait, and I hope they do... I mean, I imagine they'll probably do every 6 weeks or so with the new classes, but... Those are the big ones for me, I think.
I got the Ellie. I was pretty much done after that. No, you're waiting for your Necro and your Mesmer, and I would actually not mind to see those either.
Yep. All right, so one thing I wanted to do before we go is read email. We have a nice little handful of email this time, and I just want to encourage people, if you want to write to us, you can write to either of us, Sean@guildcast.com, that's S-H-A-W-N, or Ruby@guildcast.com. It's R-U-B-I. So, and we'll of course read your email if it's interesting. No, just kidding.
And you're so mean.
We'll try to read your email here on the show. But this first one is from Jose, and he actually wrote to us for the last show, and he says, "Thank you for mentioning my email. It makes me feel like such a fanboy." You are a fanboy, Jose.
No, it just means you're awesome. Leave me alone.
With Guild Wars 2 drawing so near, I wonder if people are establishing guilds and alliances that plan to make the move to Guild Wars 2. With this thought in mind, I'm reestablishing my guild. Do you think there's a place where like-minded people can get together to talk about this? Also, I didn't think you would like the whole having the community on you show on your show idea, but I'm willing to offer whatever counsel or anything toward this show since Guild Wars is something I'm quite passionate about.
I think he thinks you need counseling.
I think that's... Wait.
I know, I do.
So basically what he's saying is, you know, will there be a place to get together with people and, you know, establish guilds before the game comes out? Isn't there something like that over at Guild Wars Guru 2?
You know, both of the big fan sites, that one and Guild Wars Online, I've already seen some discussion about planning for guilds in Guild Wars 2. Mm-hmm. I have to be honest, I haven't looked a ton because my guild and alliance has been saying for a long time, we're just going to move into Guild Wars 2 together. Mm-hmm. But there is already some conversation. We'll have to put links, maybe we can put links to both of those fan sites on there.
Yeah.
Because that conversation has been going on already.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that now we're drawing nearer, you know, we have more information. We know that this game is coming out, I don't know, I mean... 2011? 2012? I mean, it probably...
2011. Leave me my dreams.
So, if it's coming out... I mean, I hate to say that soon, because that's still a long ways away, but this is the time to do it. You know, this is the time to start establishing this stuff. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of guilds also that have already been established in Guild Wars 1, and they're just, of course, going to be moving on, moving towards Guild Wars 2. And I don't know. I think it would be really cool. I think that would be a good idea to check out those forums. And
yeah, so Jose, we'll put those links up and send you that way.
Yeah, that will be in the show notes. And then I got another email. This one, actually, I'm not going to read the whole email because it's kind of a correspondence between he and I, but I just want to mention really quickly, Ryan is starting his own Guild Wars 2 podcast. And you know, I've always been like this, even with Guildcast, where I've never really been, I felt that it's a competition when there are other podcasts out there about the same subject. I think it's kind of more like a community, you know?
Well,
I know,
the more the merrier.
Yeah, I know with WoW podcasts, they get really competitive and they get really like, mm-hmm. you know, they try to be a little bit more specific about certain, like this is the Hunter podcast or whatever, you know, and they try to do that. The Instance is the biggest WoW podcast out there and they're not really like that, I don't think. I'll probably get emails about that. But so I just feel like we shouldn't fight. You know, we shouldn't like be competitive. We should be embracing. We should say, hey, there are other Guild Wars 2 podcasts out there or fan sites or whatever. So Ryan's gonna start his own. It's called Relics of Ore. And
yeah,
it's it's a pretty cool name. But he's got I'm checking out his site now. He has some information on there. about Guild Wars 2. It's kind of the information we've been getting every week. But they're going to start doing the podcast itself pretty soon. And I think he's recording this weekend for the first show. And one of the guests that he's going to have on is Lady Sinea.
Oh, yay!
Who was kind of my co-host, I guess, from the last Guild cast. So we'll have to get her on this show, too, sometime.
Oh, that would be fun.
But I think that's pretty cool. So, you know, definitely check that out if you're interested in hearing more Guild Wars 2 podcasts. I know a lot of people like to soak up as much information as they can. So it's a little shout-out there to Relics of War. We'll put a link to that in the show notes. All right, so this next email is it's from our old friend Logan Starlogic.
Logan emailed us and you didn't tell me?
I know. Well, he says, it's funny, he starts it out and he says, ugh, this is the third time I've written this stupid phone. So he says, hey guys, it's Logan. After listening to y'all's last podcast, he writes y'all's, not, that's not.
It's because he's Texan.
Yeah. Says, I was wondering about y'all's opinions on how the housing or streeting will be in relation to the Silvari. I mean, I don't think they live in traditional houses, right? And he says, I'm enjoying the podcast, guys. Thanks, Logan Starlogic.
Oh, hi, Logan.
That's an interesting question. Like, I don't think that's really been addressed yet. But
where the Silvari live?
Yeah, but they did mention about the Char, like, and how the Char will have, and the Asura will have, like, labs. So I imagine the Silvari will have trees or, you know, something that won't be just a regular house with a roof and windows.
Like some, like maybe like a clearing in the woods.
Yeah, or like you go in the Maguma jungle and they have those kind of like, they look like giant spider web houses kind of that are like up in the trees, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So maybe it'll be something like that, kind of like tree houses that are assembled.
Beehive.
Yeah, that there you go, beehive, giant beehive, Silvari hive.
Well, let's see, what else could they do? I don't know, you live in a tree, have a little tree house.
Yeah.
What's Ventari's Refuge? Like, a place like Ventari's Refuge?
Yeah, it's kind of deserty, is that a word?
It is now. but someplace like that actual outpost, go to Ventari's Refuge and look around, and that's my guess. How's that?
That'd probably be good. Although they do have some concept art of the Silvari, and it does seem a little bit more, like, thick, foresty, you know, rainforest.
Like, yeah. Yeah, so. I can see that. They live under a giant leaf, like, what was it, like Strawberry Shortcake and her friends?
Yes, I remember that well.
I know you do.
I watched Gem and the Holograms. I didn't watch Strawberry Shortcake.
We were talking about that at work the other day.
Yep. Okay, so let's see. Our next email here is from, I think you pronounce this Takeo, Takeo.
You do now.
Yeah, and he has actually a few questions. He says, hello, Sean and Ruby. First of all, I want to congratulate and thank the two of you for the excellent service you're doing for all GW fans. Wow.
Thank you.
We're doing a gold farming service now? What?
Shh. Jeez, you don't tell everybody. It's like my club.
No, we are not. Disclaimer, we are not doing a gold farming service.
Thank you.
He says, now I have some questions that may not have an answer yet, but here they go. Number one, ArenaNet said that there will not be secondary professions, but for example, in the case of the Asura and the fact that they control golems and such, will there be specific skills for each race? I think they have actually talked about that, about racial skills, racial-specific skills.
They have, and of course, on the spot, I can't think of a single one.
Well,
but yeah, there will be racial-specific skills.
Yeah, because they've actually mentioned that in relation to the skill bar and how that will all work. Like, there will be, you know, the weapon skills and the healing skills and all that stuff, but there will be a racial skill. So I imagine that it will be specific to the Asura and specific to, you know, like you said, controlling golems. I'm sure they're going to have something like that. I mean, they have to, right?
Well, and I know they said, like, the Silvari can call upon nature to act as a weapon. Mm. And I don't think, you know, another class wouldn't, Norn wouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, Norn can turn into animals. There you go.
Oh, yeah, the bear. There you go.
And snow leopard and something else. But, yeah, there you go. That's a racial-specific skill.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we can actually answer that one. They will have racial skills. The second question says, guild management. question. Do you think the leaders will be able to create and personalize their own ranks? For example, can the leader create ranks inside the guild, such as co-leader, captain, sergeant, or will everyone have to settle with leader, officer, and member?
That is an awesome question.
Yes. That is something that...
I will be asking very soon.
Yes. I was going to say that's something that they have in other games, which I will not mention because I'm kind of...
You're at your quota.
That joke is kind of played out. So, but yeah, I think we don't know for sure. We have no idea, but it would certainly be a welcome addition. Because then I would want to be in a guild with Ruby, and I would want to be the leader, and then I would make her
I already hate you.
I would make her like peon or gopher or something like that.
Hate.
It would just be Ruby's specific title. Actually, no, that would be cool because it's even if you had titles that were associated with your rank, which they do in other games as well, and actually there are other games that have titles associated to your race and your rank. Like, again, Lotro. I'm sorry. Lotro.
I'm going to make you give me a dollar like every time you do this.
In Lotro, if you're a hobbit and you're the guild leader, you're called the chief. You know, because that's kind of how that's their hierarchy. You know, and the elves have different ones, and the dwarves have different ones for that same rank. So I think that would be cool. I mean, that's one that's pre-assigned, but it would be cool to actually have ones that you can assign yourself, definitely.
I'm like sitting here, I'm planning out interview questions now. I want to ask all about guilds.
Hey, there you go. That would be cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, so question number three. The guild PvE events question. Is there any information if there will be guild PvE events for special guild achievements and rewards? Have they talked about that?
No.
I don't think they have.
I'm trying to figure out how that would work in a fully persistent world.
Yeah, that's true. Well, fully in quotes, right?
Mostly.
Mostly.
Yeah, I guess you could just take it instanced.
Yeah, I think, I don't know how they're going to do that. They haven't really talked about it, but I think that and your previous question would probably be answered in a... I'm sure they're going to have like a guild...
some big announcement.
Announcement fest like they have on these other topics. Yeah. So
I think that's the official name now is Announcement Fest, but...
Yeah.
That's some good ideas. Once they start releasing information about the guilds, those are some really good things to ask, and mm-hmm. I'm going to keep those in mind.
Write them down, huh?
Just forward the email to me, geez. Make me write.
You have to transcribe it from this podcast.
Ugh.
I'm such an awesome boss.
You're not the boss of me this time.
Okay, question four. Any guesses on which professions will be removed in Guild Wars 2? I personally think the Paragon and the Ranger are the ones going down. On the last video, we saw the warrior using a bow and possibly using Burning Arrow, which makes me believe that Rangers will become obsolete. Also, the new race is bond with nature. They will probably get beast mastery and wilderness survival-like skills. As for the Paragon, I really don't see it going anywhere. The skills will probably end up being part of the warrior skill list. On the other hand, dervish skills could also easily end up on the warrior skill list.
Well, again, I tried with the ranger.
I agree with the Paragon thing. I actually really like the Paragon. I like the kind of group buffing class. I've always enjoyed stuff like that. It's probably my third favorite, I would have to honestly say. I really did enjoy playing the Paragon. But I do believe that they will probably mix that into the warrior. Now, I could be completely wrong here. It's just speculation, but I think with the banners and the shouts, they could easily elaborate on the shouts and make it and kind of encompass what the warrior can do.
You know, that's such a hard thing for me to speculate on because I have great admiration for every class if played right in Guild Wars. Maybe the assassin?
Oh.
I don't know. I hate to say that because the poor assassin has been so beat upon. But too, keep in mind, we're getting new classes. So
yeah.
I wonder if something like, I don't know, again, I'm just completely making this up, like the Paragon and the Dervish, if they're going to be combined into some sort of new class.
Like a spear sweeping robed
yes.
Shouter?
Spear sweeping rogue shouter. I did hear that was the next class reveal.
Well, I think that the assassin is actually kind of a needed thing, I think, to have, like, your rogue character. You know, every the burglar or the rogue or whatever, you know, you have to have that stealthy. And the assassin doesn't really have that right now, but having kind of more of a stealth aspect to the assassin, I think, would be pretty cool, especially for stuff like PvP. But, again, speculation. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Personally, I don't think they should get rid of the ritualist. I love the ritualist. I think
that. She's like your underwear.
I love her underwear. And the video. Remember the video I made?
I loved that video.
from My Humps. I mean, it's.
Yeah, and now the song's stuck in my head again. I just got it out like a week ago.
Completely inappropriate. but yeah, I don't think that they're going to do anything with the ritualist. But who knows? Possibly they could eliminate more than just two. You know, they could eliminate a bunch of them, and like you said, they're going to be introducing new ones.
Yeah, they're going to have to eliminate more than two to make room.
Yeah, so.
All right, my official, I'm going to say that the writ stays. This is my guess. The writ stays. Paragon is going to be incorporated into some other new class.
Mm-hmm. Warrior, right?
No, I don't. You know what? I think Paragon skills will find those in whatever one of these new classes are.
Okay.
So that's my guess. You can make fun of me if it's wrong, but Rit's going to stay. Paragon is part of a new class.
Okay. Well, let's say that there are four that are leaving. Would you be able to pick four? I would say Paragon.
Oh, you know, the monk is going. So the monk is.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say that.
Sorry.
Yeah, so Paragon, monk. I think Ranger is going to change into something else. It's going to be more like a naturalist kind of beastmaster kind of thing. I don't think it's going to go away completely. I think the bow part of it will probably be handed over to the warrior, but I think that the beast, you know, the beast mastery / pet class, I think will remain. The ritualist, what?
No, I was just going to say, you know, he's got a good point. That's a good fit for the Silvari.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't. Are classes going to be race specific? Are they going to have anything like that? I don't think they
are.
Not
that I know of.
Yeah. So you have to think of what would be appropriate for every race. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm sure that every race could pull something from nature. You know, you know, the Norn and the Char, and everybody I think could have some kind of angle on being a naturalist or whatever. So there you go. And so I don't think that's going away. So that's Paragon, monk. I would really hate to see the ritualist go. I love the kind of. Oh, I love so much about the ritualist. Man, the more I think about it, the more I just love these classes.
No, I'm like, voting that the writ stays.
Yeah, I think it probably will.
Do you think any other core classes are going to go?
Man. You know, I worry about the Mesmer only because I think it's not as viable in PvE as it is in PvP. You know, Mesmer is one of those classes where it's really hard to say how useful it is. There's not really that balance between PvE and PvP usefulness.
You haven't played your Mez since the buff, have you?
Oh, no, I haven't. When was that? That was last week, wasn't it?
No, it was longer ago than that. But oh my gosh, Mesmer's kick butt now.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, like I said, that's probably my tied for first favorite class, maybe second. I love the Mesmer. I love interrupting. That's something you don't see in other games, the whole interruption process. I love debuffing. I love that kind of stuff. And I just love the fact that it's like a guy who's like, you know, I don't know. He's not all, you know, beat up and muscular and, you know, and kind of like hulking and.
Right.
You know, I like that.
Normal guy.
Yeah, so. I love the Mesmer. I really hope they keep it, but I just worry about it, I think is the thing. They have to realize that a lot of people love Mesmer, though, and it's such a unique class that I really hope they keep it. So I'm going to say no. I'm going to say they won't get rid of the Mesmer.
I don't think they will, and I partially base this on absolutely the most shallow thing that I possibly could. But there's armor that looks, there's clothing that looks like Mesmer's.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Which is probably the least solid foundation to base that guess on. But two, and they just gave Mesmer's all this love.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's to make us forget about it when they
Enjoy no. this. We're taking it away. No, don't see that happening.
No. Yeah, I think that would be cool. Man, I don't know. I'd hate to see any more leave. I mean, so Paragon, Monk, I would say Ranger just to be kind of turned into a new class.
I can see that.
And then maybe I would say the same thing probably with Assassin. They would probably get rid of the Assassin or the Dervish. One of those two and kind of combine them into a new kind of...
Some
rogue,
sort of spinny rogue.
Yeah, I think a rogue class would be important, which wouldn't really work with a dervish, but I think that they would probably get rid of the dervish. So
yeah, I'd love to see a sneaky rogue class.
Yeah, yeah. So those are my picks.
So we've got our picks. There you go.
Actually, I'd like to kind of get some conversation going on that. If people want to respond in the comments on our website and kind of, you know, let us know what you think would be the ones that are going or staying or being recreated.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think that would be a good conversation. And we don't need a forum for that, you know, just comment.
Did you get asked for a forum again?
Yeah, I should. Oh, so anyway, continuing on with this email.
Yeah.
He has one more question. He says, character homes, will we be able to furniture it, I guess he means furnish, and make it more appealing? I don't know, but, you know, they do talk about the home instances and the fact that they're, like, complete blocks, basically. I don't see why they wouldn't want to add that to it.
Well, that's, again, I said something similar to this before. I can't see them putting all this effort into making such a detailed, elaborate home instance and then being like, okay, and you can't have furniture.
Yeah.
No customization.
Wouldn't make much sense.
No. I'm gonna vote furniture.
Yeah, I mean, so we have no official word on that yet, but we're both pulling for furniture.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Okay, so we have one more email here. Actually, we have two more, but this second-to-last one here is from Tankcaster. It says, hello, this is Tankcaster, or at least I go by Tankcaster in your WordPress forums, as well as the Guild Wars Guru 2. I hear you've been continuing your podcast, and I am forever grateful. I've been wondering if you have an idea how the servers will be running. In most games I play, they have at least three or four main servers and several sub-servers branching off of those based on either worldly locations or time zones. Also, I've been wondering how elemental attunements would exactly compensate with this Savari. For example, if a Savari chose to remain partial to fire attunements, would that have any negative effect on the Savari casting it, considering they are plant beings?
Hmm.
In other news, I've noticed the Warrior has been announced on the official class on the Guild Wars 2 website. Yeah, we talked about that a little bit. I wish you two the best of luck. They go on to say, and I've noticed the Rangers haven't been mentioned at all. Praise the Lord. I'm praying that they have been one of the eliminated classes. Wow. Is this Loudon? Did Loudon write this?
I was just thinking the same thing.
Loudon, of course, for anyone who doesn't know, was a contributor on our guildcast, the original guildcast, and he hated Rangers. He absolutely hated them. And it was funny. It was like kind of his shtick. But yeah, we don't, like, we, you know, we were just speculating. We don't know if the Rangers are going to go or stay or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I honestly think, you heard it here first, that they're going to wrap it up into a new class, more of like a nature-based pet
class. Get on board with that.
But, you know, again, that's our speculation, so we don't know. Now, according to Tankcaster's first question here about the servers, have they mentioned anything at all about how they're going to do the servers?
No, not that I can remember.
I think the only thing that I remember that they did talk about a little bit were the kind of the world v. world PvP, and they're talking about, like, server versus server. But I think that they couldn't really talk about it yet, because we did actually ask them about that at Massively a couple times, I think, because it's such a big question. But they've said they can't talk about it. But I think speculation out there on the forums is that this will be like they have now, where you can switch between districts, and that's what they're calling servers.
On a single server.
Yeah, it'll still be a single server where you can play with your friends anytime, because that would be ridiculous if they went back to, you know, like the WoW way of doing things.
Not after that being such a draw for Guild Wars 1. I can't see them taking that away.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the few games that actually allows you to do that, and it was one of the first. I mean, you know, EVE Online and Guild Wars were pretty much the only games that did that for several years, and now other games are starting to pick up on that and realize how important it is, because you don't want to be like, you know, hey, I have a level 50 character. Hey, I do too. What server are you on? Oh, I'm on this one, and you're not, and oh, we're screwed.
Yeah, that's not going to...
Yeah.
That's one of the great things about Guild Wars is that you don't have to try to work around that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that, I don't know, again, speculation, but I don't think that they would remove that accessibility.
No, but it's pretty confident speculation, on my part anyway.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Okay, so this last email we have, this was actually one sent to you.
Yay, thank you.
And this is from Kernel, K-E-R-N-U-L-L. And he says, hi, you guys are absolutely awesome, which is better than awesome.
Well, he's got good taste.
Yeah. One of the thousand reasons I like Guild Wars 1 was the control scheme. I have a mobility disorder with difficulty fully controlling most games. With Guild Wars 1, I have no trouble playing my character to his fullest. What is known at this point about the control scheme for Guild Wars 2, and how do you feel about Guild Wars 1's controls?
Okay, well, in answer to the first question, I think it is nothing. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, there really isn't. They haven't even said if it's point-to-click or anything yet, right?
Right.
Yeah. I think, I mean, you know, I started MMOs with Guild Wars, so it was kind of the way I learned, you know, press C and spacebar, you know, to attack. Yeah. And then, you know, point to move, or click to move. And other games, actually, that's kind of like a Korean... way of developing games, and it's kind of like a Korean style of movement in games, and I think that that's where NCSoft, of course, being a Korean company, I think that that's kind of maybe how that got implemented in there. I'm not positive on that at all.
The point-to-click?
Yeah, the point-to-click, click-to-move kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Click-to-move.
But other games are doing that too, but I think that it is easier, it is accessible for a lot of people. And especially, what was especially helpful with Guild Wars is the fact that, you know, you can't jump off cliffs. So what would happen a lot is you would, you know, click down in a valley, and then your character would auto run kind of around to the easy, you know, the way that they can actually navigate over to that point. And that worked really well for the game. And then the other kind of ease of use is also the C to attack nearest target or tab or however you have it set up, actually. And then spacebar to attack. And, you know, spacebar is a jump in most other games. So I would imagine, since we're having jump in Guild Wars 2, that maybe spacebar won't still be there. I would imagine also that they would not want to get more complicated with movement, because it is one of those things that a lot of people do like. Although, I guess, on the other side of that, a lot of people don't like click to move.
But the great thing about Guild Wars is it's not your only option if you don't like it. Just WASD.
Yeah, you could turn that off. Actually, it's funny. When I first started playing Guild Wars, I used to play with the arrow keys. Mm-hmm. I did that for a long time. I resisted WASD for a long time. But it was kind of funny because I would be using the arrow keys, and then I'd have to go over to the mouse, and it wasn't the best, most efficient.
Uh-huh.
And it was... And also, I would click on the skills. I would never press 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I would click on the skills, which is not the best thing. So anybody who I ever played with who I had to heal for, I'm very sorry.
You know, I actually still click on my skills to activate them. And I don't – it's my preference. I don't know why. And it's almost – at this point, especially in Guild Wars, it's almost muscle memory. I don't have to look.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
I'm just – you know, I know – okay, I can just – I know where 3 is. And
yeah.
There I go. So I don't know. I've tried using the keyboard, and I don't. I have to say, though, I really do. The Guild Wars 1 control system is probably one of my favorites. And just going through some other games, and I'm thinking of, like, running with WASD and pressing R to run. I'm going to talk about another game just for a second. I despise pressing number lock to run. I hate that.
Me too, actually.
And you know what game I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, there are a few games that do that, but yeah, I do hate that too, because you have to look down and you're like, okay, where's number lock? Oh, it's over there. Okay. And it also, number lock affects your numbers over there on the keypad, you know?
And then it affects my job when I'm trying to resize a photo a little while later.
Exactly.
So I am... a big fan of the way Guild Wars 1 does that. And I like the choice. You can click to move if you feel like it, or you can get back to the keyboard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if they just give us that choice, that would be really all we need. You know, if you want to play like you did in Guild Wars 1, fine. If you don't, if you want to play more like a different, totally different game, then you can do that.
If you want to use the stupid number lock key, you can. No, but I do. I hope they carry that over because it's, again, one of the great things about the game.
Yep. That's for sure.
So I think you should read this. Well, I think you should maybe address something else that he mentioned. You are not going to be at PAX.
Yeah.
It's not because you don't want to.
No, actually, it's because I'm going to be at Dragon Con. And the powers that be at, I'm going to blame PAX. I'm gonna blame Gabe and Tycho here.
Right. I'm actually cool with that because I really want to go to Dragon Con and I cannot.
Yeah, well, Dragon Con's been around a lot longer, and it's in Atlanta. For anyone who doesn't know, it's like a kind of a fan convention, a lot of costumes, stuff like that. And it's only 2 hours away from me. So last year I went for the first time, absolutely loved it. It's an incredible experience, and I got to speak on panels there. So, and that's what I'm going to do again this year, speak on a few panels, actually a Guild Wars panel. So if you're going to be at Dragon Con this year, definitely check out the Guild Wars panel because I will be there. But PAX is the same weekend, and they decided this. When did they start PAX? I guess like not even 10 years ago, I guess like 7 years ago, something like that. I went for a couple years ago twice.
Was 2004 the first one?
Was it? Yeah, that might... That actually might be correct. I don't even know what year it is now, so I couldn't do the math. But yeah, so they started doing it on the same exact weekend, and this is Labor Day weekend, the first weekend in May, first weekend in September. And so that's when PAX is, and PAX, of course, has gotten huge, and since it's in Seattle, that is kind of arena that's home convention. So they're going to be, you know, like we talked about last week, Guild Wars 2 is going to be playable at PAX and Gamescom. So, you know, if you're in that area, you're probably going to pick PAX over Dragon Con, I would imagine. Because, you know, you're going to actually have a demo, or you're going to be able to stand in line for hours to be able to have the possibility to play Guild Wars 2. How's that? You think that's accurate?
Oh, I think that is fine. Well worth it.
But the most important thing here is that I will be at Dragon Con and Ruby will be at PAX. So choose who you like more. And that is where you will go, right?
Oh, now see, I would never make you make that sort of decision. You do what makes you happy. See, now they like me better.
I will have candy there.
Crap. No, but we have to kind of spread the resources out there. So
yeah,
I will be in Seattle with at least one other Massively staffer. And then I guess the entire rest of the staff is going to be at Dragon Con.
No, there'll be a few of us, but yeah, we like for work, you know, essentially we're going to be split up for that. But yeah, we'll talk about that more as September starts, you know, approaching, because we have a lot of other things to hopefully go to before that. But you know, when that time comes, we'll talk on the podcast about how you can kind of meet up with us and say hi and stuff like that. I think that would be really cool.
I think so, too.
And speaking of conventions, actually, next week I'm going to be at E3, so our podcast might be delayed, although I will be home by Friday, but it might be delayed a little bit, maybe by a day, which no one will probably mind. So
probably sleep.
Yeah, maybe. But NCSoft and ArenaNet will not be at E3, so I won't really have anything to report on from there. But, of course, we can count on probably the week's, you know, regular Guild Wars news to talk about, at least.
Well, since they're not going to be at E3, they'll have plenty of time to give us something really good.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. Yeah. Should be nice. So I guess that's about it for this show.
Jeez, I think it was plenty.
Yeah, I think we went on quite a bit. But if you want to email us, like I said, Sean@guildcast.com or Ruby@guildcast.com. You can also check us out at guildcast.wordpress.com or guildcast.libsyn.com. I should probably stop giving so many options so you can just pick one.
Well, we'll just put the links in the show notes. And
yeah. Like I said, we're on iTunes now, so you can subscribe via iTunes.
That's awesome.
Check us out. And also, we have the RSS on our main page if you want to use something else, of course. So I guess that's about it. So
that is it. Thank you.
Yeah, until next week, this is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
And we'll talk to you then.